What was your life like at age 15? Here's what Katie Lightkep remembers.
I would sit on a metal stool for about 8 hours a day in this room that felt a lot like an aquarium. And you would just sit there, and about every 10, 15 minutes or so, you'd watch the front of the room, and I would get an injection in my arm. And then I would go back, and I would sit, and I would wait. And then I'd go back, and every 10 to 15 minutes, I would do that for 8 hours a day, just day after day after day for weeks.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkamuth, author of The First Songs of Christmas, for December 7th, 2018.
Well, here on Revive Our Hearts, we've been in a series called The Wonder of His Name. We're getting to know Jesus better during this Christmas season by studying His names. But we're going to take a break from that series today because I want to introduce you to my friend, Katie Lightkep. Beginning at a young age, Katie went through some really dark times. In fact, she still faces some huge challenges today. And I know her story is going to encourage you as you face circumstances that just don't make any sense. Now, as you're listening to today's program, the Lord may bring to mind someone you know who is in a dark season. I hope you'll send them a link to the video version of this story. Our team did a fabulous job capturing Katie's journey with intense physical pain, and you'll find that video at reviveourhearts.com. Now, let's get to know Katie.
I grew up in the church and in a home where the Bible was taught, and there's not a point that I can think of where I first heard the name of Jesus. It was just part of my childhood, but I had never really needed God in the way that I did once I started to get sick. I could kind of live my life, and I was successful in school and good at school. I liked it, and I was able to do what I wanted to do without having to depend on the Lord for anything. And so I had a relationship with Him, but it was mostly focused on me. I even had gone to a private school where I would sit in chapels each week, and I regretted that I didn't have the same testimony that a lot of the speakers did. I remember as an elementary school student wanting to be the person who had a dramatic testimony, someone who had experienced incarceration or drug abuse, just so that I would have that kind of story. And I had no concept of what the grace of God is, no understanding of the nature of the cross and what my sin had done. And so at that point, I would say that I was a believer, but I wasn't believing God for much. When I was in fifth grade, I first started getting sick a lot. I was missing school all the time. The year after that, I was in sixth grade and I was hospitalized for the first time with a very severe migraine that just lasted for weeks. It was pain that would not stop no matter what we tried. My symptoms have primarily been neurological, mostly different forms of headaches and migraines, but also different forms of migraines, ocular migraines that caused me to lose my vision. A lot of fatigue, brain fog, and memory loss, joint pain, arthritis type symptoms. Some psych symptoms where the illness causes anxiety and even depression at times. The worst have been cluster headaches, which are nicknamed suicide headaches. And when those happen, you feel like you're being stabbed in the eye with an ice pick. By the time I was about 16, I was told that I had multi-system organ dysfunction. My family became really desperate. So I went to a health clinic in Dallas. And it was a place for people who've exhausted all conventional medical options. The walls were completely steel, porcelain. It was just a really cold, clean kind of place. You weren't allowed to have any kind of fragrances or electronics. Nothing could really be brought in from outside because they were afraid that people would become allergic to it and it would make them worse. I was the only pediatric patient at that time. This is the only teenager. And I would sit on a metal stool for about 8 hours a day in this room that felt a lot like an aquarium. And you would just sit there, and about every 10, 15 minutes or so, you'd watch the front of the room, and I would get an injection in my arm. And then I would go back, and I would sit, and I would wait. And then I'd go back, and every 10 to 15 minutes, I would do that for 8 hours a day, just day after day after day for weeks at that clinic. If you brought in a book, it had to be wrapped in cellophane because of the concern of paper and ink and how that can cause allergic reactions. So it was really difficult to even have a book. Couldn't have electronics, so you just sat there all day long and just waited for them to get to you and give you the shot and then sit back down. So it was a lonely place. It was pretty miserable, and days were very, very long. And I remember it being fairly big and empty, but I just felt claustrophobic all the time in the midst of the circumstances that I was in. I just felt like day after day I was trying different things and nothing was working, and it just becomes suffocating. I knew that God was good. I could see that. I saw that in other patients. I saw it in my family. I grew up hearing that and believing it, but I didn't think that God was good to me. I didn't know if he really could be trusted. It was easy to believe that when things were good, but when things were not working out the way that I wanted, it was hard to know if he really was good to me. As I put my faith and my hope in my doctors, thinking that they were going to give me the answers that I wanted, and they failed, I had to turn to Christ. And I just remember begging him to show me if he was good and if he was trustworthy. After I had been there for probably a few weeks at that point, I think the doctor could tell. I think he realized that I was still a teenage girl among all of these adults and that I was the only one. And he could see that I was in a lot of pain and that being there was miserable. It was how I was spending my summers as a high school sophomore and junior. So he finally said, I'll write you a prescription and that this will allow you to use an old classic iPod. You can take that into these testing rooms while you're getting injections, and you can take it with you into the sauna. So at that point, I had heard about Revive Our Hearts, and I downloaded all of the old episodes, all of the old radio series that I could find onto that iPod, and I just sat there, and while I was waiting for injections every 10 to 15 minutes, I would sit there and just listen to Nancy teach for hours and hours and hours.
Maybe you're at a season in your life when it's tempting to think, God hasn't really been good to me. How do we counter that? The truth is that God is good. He is good whether or not his choices seem right to us, whether or not we feel it, whether or not it seems true, and whether or not he gives us everything that we want.
So as I was listening to Nancy teach, it allowed me to breathe a little bit more and to be able to realize that this was the place where God had me.
We've all got circumstances of life where we felt so helpless, but it's a good place to be. Because not until we realize how helpless we are do we cast ourselves upon God, who is our helper.
And if he had put me here, then it was with great purpose. And this was the background that he was using for me to get to know him personally and to bring glory to him.
The greatest growth happens in the hardest places.
I could all of a sudden stay there and feel peace and feel like even if it didn't work or even if I was wasting my time, so to speak, that I was in this place where God was present.
True blessing is not the absence of hard things, but it's Christ's presence in the midst of the hard places.
And sitting in the midst of it, just hearing her teach, I could get to know Christ in a way that I would never be able to if I was healthy and out doing normal teenager things. I all of a sudden had all this time to get to know who he was and know his character and know his heart and get to study in a way by listening to those messages, study his word and find out more about him. Nancy's always said that anything that makes you need God is a blessing. And in that season, I needed him desperately. But through what was being broadcasted, I realized that even these terrible things that were making me need God could be good because they forced me to rely on him and to know him in different ways. By donating to Revive Our Hearts, people may think that they're just giving money or their resources, but they're giving people like me, like patients and teenage girls who have no other hope. They're giving us Christ, and that's what they did for me. People don't realize that those messages changed my life. I should have brought Kleenex.
How do we praise God when our eyes are filled with tears? When it costs us something to praise him. We're listening to the story of Katie Lightcap. I'm so grateful that God used the Revive Our Hearts podcast to reach her in such a dark place. And he also used a book that she learned about through Revive Our Hearts. It's called Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free.
I read Lies Women Believe the year that I turned 18, and it was just what I needed at that point because I knew that my future was not going to be anything like what I had planned. And for so long, I had put all of my identity in academic achievements and accomplishments, and now I didn't know if I was going to be going off to college the following year, if I was going to ever be able to leave my house and function in the world. And a lot of what I had thought I knew about the world had shifted. And so I got that book.
As this hungry-hearted teenage girl read this book, the Lord began to open her eyes to some lies she had been believing. And more importantly, he began to help her see the truth that would set her free. One of the lies she had believed was, I shouldn't have to live with unfulfilled longings. She began to realize the truth is, unfulfilled longings can increase my longing for God.
So if I didn't get that book, I think it would be a struggle to get out of bed.
I shouldn't have to suffer is another lie that spoke to Katie's situation. But then she began to see the truth is, my suffering will not last forever.
I started to realize that my illness was not just about me.
Katie identified with another lie addressed in Lies Women Believe. It's all about me. And then she began to see the truth that everything we go through is all about God and his good kingdom purposes.
I think without the book, I would still be enslaved to a lot of different lies. The Lord just started showing me how revolting my selfishness and my pride are to him as well. And it began to change the way I looked at Christ. Because I knew physical pain, and I knew how sinful I was. I looked at him, and I saw that he knew more physical pain than I did. But he didn't have any of the same sin that I did, and he still chose to suffer so that I would be righteous. Experiencing the suffering that I was going through changed the way that I looked at Christ's suffering. It was extremely humbling to know what he took on and that he would step into this broken world. The more I had to repent of my selfishness and making things about me and focusing on my own glory versus God's made me realize that I had always thought my biggest problem was my illness. And once I was diagnosed, I thought that my biggest problem was Lyme bacteria. But sin is such a greater problem than my illness. One of the big lies that I believed was that God should heal me, or that he should fix my problems, that I deserve to have a life of comfort or of healing, that these are things that are expected. I've benefited so much from people like Johnny Erickson Tata, who's been on, who I heard on Nancy's broadcast, hearing her talk about what God was doing in the midst of her suffering, knowing that she was still very much in the battle, that she wasn't telling her story from a place of complete physical healing, that she's not going to see it this side of heaven, but God was still using her to spread his hope and his joy and purposes to others in the midst of her struggles made me realize maybe my illness was not going to just be about me. So at that point, I remember reading Luke 1 and the prophecy that's given about Christ. He's referred to as the sunrise. And at the end of the passage, it's referring to Jesus. It says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to move their feet into the way of peace. And I remember hearing that Christ, who is the sunrise, that he came to give light to those who sit in darkness, both in the darkness of our sins, but I also started to think of all of the people that were like me that had been sitting in circumstances where there was no light that could be seen, no hope of healing anywhere near, not a lot of comfort to be found, just sitting there knowing that this is probably going to last for a really long time, and knowing that Christ came to give light to my darkness. And I started to hear those verses as a command that I needed to find a way to give his light to others who sat in darkness. So I now work in Houston as a hospital teacher. So I work for the public school system, but I get to teach sick kids and those that are in really similar situations to what I experienced in high school and middle school. And I've had several kids who did not leave the hospital. kindergartners and second graders who've gone home to be with the Lord way before they should have. And I've gone to both Christian celebrations of life and some of the darkest, most hopeless memorial services that you can imagine. As I've sat through services for students who were not believers, it has increased my, just the sense of urgency that time is short, that God is good and he is willing to redeem. But we don't know how much time he's given each of us. But it's forced me to rely on him in different ways and to figure out how to serve him well with the time that I have. So it took 10 years before I was diagnosed with Lyme disease. Through Nancy's teaching, I learned that if I do have Christ and I have his word, I don't even need health. I thought, and for years, that's what all I was chasing was to find a cure, or not even a cure, to find the diagnosis. That was something, what was making me so sick, to find out what was wrong. And I thought that if I had that, then my life would all of a sudden be better, that if I could just be well, then my life would be fulfilled. And I spent so many years chasing all these different things, thinking that was what I needed. When through Revive Our Hearts, I realized that if I have Christ, I'm okay.
That's my friend Katie Lightcap, reminding all of us that true hope only comes through knowing and trusting Christ. Perhaps you know someone who needs that true hope today. Not long ago, I was talking with a friend who was suffering great physical affliction. I thought about Katie's story, and I said to my friend, I think this story would encourage your heart as you walk through this season. So I sent her a link to a beautiful video that our team has produced sharing Katie's story. You'll find that video at reviveourhearts.com. And then share it with someone else who could use the perspective and the hope that Katie has shared with us. And you may not be aware that Revive Our Hearts frequently releases new videos. You'll find encouraging stories, helpful discussions, Bible teaching to help you grow. So if you're a YouTube user, let me encourage you to subscribe to the Revive Our Hearts YouTube channel. Then you'll be sure to see each new video as it's posted. We're able to produce resources like these videos and podcasts and books like the one that encouraged Katie Lightkep, thanks to listeners like you who pray and support this ministry financially. Just think, if you've given in the past to help make Revive Our Hearts possible, you might have played a role in Katie's story. A hurting, lonely 15-year-old girl who felt hopeless found true hope in Christ thanks to listeners who supported Revive Our Hearts. I love that. But there's so many more women in all kinds of hopeless situations, and we want to get this message to as many of them as possible. But we need your help. Your gift at this time will impact the number of women that we're able to reach around the world during 2019. And when you get involved now, your gift will be doubled. That's because of a matching challenge that's been offered to us by some friends of the ministry. Every gift that is given between now and December 31st, they are matching. They're doubling up to a total of $750,000. So for the ministry to enter the new year in a healthy position and to be prepared to reach even more women in the year ahead, we need to not only meet this challenge, we need to exceed it as well. So what part might the Lord want you to have in helping to meet this need? And what other Katie's might He want to use you to help reach as a result of your generosity at this time? You can visit us at reviveourhearts.com to make your donation. That's reviveourhearts.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Thanks so much for the role you play in helping Revive Our Hearts call women to experience freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
Imagine being in a courtroom before a strict judge and you know you're guilty. The truth is, everyone is in that situation. We are all sinners before God. But the good news is that you have someone defending you, an advocate, standing before the judge. Nancy will tell you more about it next week. Please join us for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants you to find true hope in Jesus. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.